Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG tonight. What a beautiful day. Tiring, but beautiful day. I've had the chance to do some math thinking. I'm fully into it. I'm barely reconnecting to reality, but it's good to have you guys to keep me on check on the regular chat. How are you doing, people? It's snowing outside. I've had some repairs done on my car. Things are going productive. It needs to be said, Sydney Sweeney's boobs are not that big. That's it, boys. That is the tweet. Oh my God. There is so much talking about these boobs. It is amazing. She just did a Saturday Night Live with fully exposed boobs to the camera. And now we are in the counterculture part, denying that the boobs are big. That is awesome. And look at what the community notes added. Yes, they are. Oh my God. Corrected. Boom. Someone, I don't know if it's a joke, but Nuclear Herbs was saying community notes was the best feature ever added to this website. Everything has been said about these boobs in the last week. We've had people saying that Western civilization relied on these boobs, that that these boobs would combat the wokeness away, would kind of push the wokeness back from civilization. A lot of hope, but isn't that ultimately what the attractiveness of boob is made for? It makes men go crazy. It makes men go, oh my God, so much reserves of food for my children. We see infinity when we see boobs. We see the potential of an infinite cone of descendants. Your children making grandchildren, making great-grandchildren. That is what we see. Based Saxon says, I've always preferred boobs on the smaller side, but those are spectacular. I have the same position. Those are boobs that you can know that they are standard. They are what men would tell you. This is the beautiful boobs. But at the same time, they are kind of big. They are kind of too big, kind of too... It tells a little bit about the story. When they are that big, it tells about the story of the woman behind. And it tells the story either of an implant, a desire to have big boobs, a pregnancy, or a moment where the woman was more fat. I think that this is what big boobs generally indicate. And as such big boobs are kind of at the border of the turn off for me. Stephen Robinson says, some boobs look better naked and some better clothed. Absolutely true. And I suspect that Sydney... what's her name? Sydney Sweeney's boob are not particularly beautiful once they are out of their gowns. I think that the size of them probably means they need support. And they're probably not the most beautiful boobs once naked. I would suspect that they are hanging, that the weight, the physics of it. I've worked through the physics of it and some things got to give. They must be stretchy when they are liberated to full gravity. Candace Owen says, this is this is so amazing. It's been a story that's been going on for years. The whole idea that Macron, the president of France, is going out with a man. He is with a man, and his wife is a man who's just dressed as a woman to kind of avoid trouble, or perhaps because she's a trans, or perhaps it's just a political thing to be hiding the fact that she's a trans to the French public. A combination of all this. This has been something I covered back in the days, but I wasn't super convinced. I was like, looking at the evidence, I was like, yeah, totally possible. But I need like super solid evidence. And what it's been is, well, indicators and maybes. So back then, I don't know what I said exactly, but if I remember correctly, I had said, not sure about the fact that Macron's wife is a man. Possible, interesting, but I don't know. But Candace Owen has just reviewed similar evidence to what I had reviewed years ago. But Candace Owen went all in. She says she is putting on the stake her journalistic professional reputation, and she is ready to bet it all on the fact that Macron's wife is a man. She says, this episode is blowing up, so I just want to say, after looking into this, I would stake my entire professional reputation on the fact that Brigitte Macron is in fact a man. Any journalist or publication that is trying to dismiss this plausibility is immediately identifiable as establishment. I have never seen anything like this in my life. The implications here are terrifying. I do not intend to let up on this story, and I'm calling on other journalists to look into this explosive story and report accordingly. I'll tell you what, Candace makes a solid argument. She has stated things that I hadn't realized. I hadn't realized when we were looking into this story. I thought it was kind of a Michelle Obama type conspiracy that was emerging, but the equivalent for France. But Candace Owen raises the point, hey, let's not forget that Macron is dating, his wife, his supposedly wife, is much older than him. And if the story is true, in fact, she's 8 years older than she even claims. So we're talking, if this is a man, we're talking about a gay sex relationship to which Macron was initiated as a teenager. She points out that it is known that Macron's wife was his theater teacher. And now she has just enlightened me. Now I can see, oh, okay, we would be talking about an old gay teacher who would have converted Macron to homosexuality in teenage years. That is scary indeed. I think she's right, Candace Owen, that is scary, because it would mean Macron has been the victim of this kind of very old adult to child or almost child or teenage years boys, and they get misdirected toward a non-reproductive lifestyle. Now, that is very worrying. As far as the evidence, I would still say that it's not top solid evidence. I'm not super sure that Macron's wife is a man, but we start with the pictures. I mean, yeah, the thing is, yeah, you know, if you look at the hair, and you imagine in your head, imagine this is a wig. Now, yeah, I can see it. Like, that could totally be a man, but it could also totally be a old woman, because some old women, they age, and there's, I don't know how it works with the testosterone, but they have a moment in life where they seem more masculine. But looking at this, I can totally realistically imagine a male here. It's possible. And today, with trans surgeries of all kind, like, I was looking for the Adam's apple. Doesn't seem to be one readily visible here. The thing is, they do all sorts of surgeries these days where they remove these things. I mean, you look at Blair White. By the way, just this week, I learned that boobs that I had been admiring for about 3 years were boobs of a trans person. I didn't know. So it's been the second or third time in my life that I'm trapped by a false display of femalehood. This week, I talked with, you know, the guy who interviewed me on the Quebecois shows. Many of you will not have watched it because it was in French. But there was a guy who interviewed me, the Troll Academy guy. And, you know, we were exchanging on Twitter, and just like this, you know, it flashed in my mind. I remember those boobs. And so I mentioned on Twitter, I remember that you had access to absolutely beautiful boobs at some point in your life, because I thought it was his girlfriend. But then he starts saying, who are you talking about? And trying to figure out who I was talking about, I was like, I saw you on stream. You were with a beautiful woman. Talking about this, he says, oh, Jeff, you didn't know. That's not a woman. That was a trans. He was filming a stream with a trans. I was like, what? So all in all, to say, you can be fooled. I'm a biologist, and I should be able to see the difference, but they have worked so hard to undo all of the male features surgically that they can trap even me. And so I was absolutely disappointed, because I had these boobs in my mind for like 3 years, and I feel violated. I feel that male boobs have been inserted in my mind against my will. I feel raped. Anyway, so that's another disappointment in life, but I'm going to have to live with it. Recently, Macron had never commented on this whole his wife being a man. He commented recently, and he said, just loosely, he said that it was rumors and that it saddens him. Didn't make any specific proof or bring specific evidence. And so Candace Owen is raising loose evidence, but evidence that's been accumulating and that altogether paint a very plausible picture. First, the fact that there seems to be lies about the age of this person. There seems to be missing parts of the life of this person. When they send pictures of this person as a child, there is a belief that those are lies. That one of the picture, actually, they claim it's a picture of her, but she's the boy on the other side of the picture. So that they can kind of plausibly deny, saying, hey, this is a picture of me as a child, but they're not telling you which child she is. They're not telling you if she's the girl or the boy. Then there's another picture that there is a claim that chronologically it doesn't make sense that it would be so clean, and yet that it would be so dated. It's too high resolution for its time. And they claim that the picture is actually a picture of this, of Brigitte Macron's daughter, that she would have used to mislead the public. Okay, plausible. There's also the fact that Brigitte Macron would have stated at some point that she was alone, living in an apartment alone in the U.S. When some historical event happened, maybe the moon landing or something, and calculating the years, it makes no sense, apparently, and it would place her as a single celibate girl of 16 years old in an apartment in the U.S. back in those years, rather than a 28-year-old male. Candace Owen raises the question that it makes more sense if she was 28-year-old and a male, rather than 16-year-old and a female and living alone in the U.S. Those are interesting thoughts, and I'm still on the fence. Is that a man? Is Macron ultimately, and this is why it's all very important socially, is Macron ultimately the puppet of a dark side of extortion, where, you know, we've recently learned that basically Puff Daddy was fucking rappers in the ass and then threatening them, I'm going to reveal that you're gay if you don't do this. So basically, some people are claiming at least that he was at the center of extortion schemes for the music industry. And we've seen extortion schemes. It's happening again and again in the halls of power. And the question is Macron one of these people who is being held by secret information about his life, about the true nature of his wife? And that's all very interesting. DK Shadow says, we need some DNA, find a used cup or something. It would be so easy to give a clear response rather than just deny loosely. Brigitte Macron could agree to make a test and make a genetic test of some sort, or, I mean, even provide, as far as I know, just X-ray dentures would be enough. Would be enough to put the question totally aside, because although they do lots of surgery to change the male look to female look, the bone structure is usually not something they touch very much. Puzim says, Puff Daddy made discover of every breath you take, huh? Every move you make. Yes, he did. I was a fan of this song when I was seeing it on MTV when it was playing. This era and More Money, More Problems. That was my MTV moment. So I know about Puff Daddy, but I didn't know he was at the center of extortion of the whole music industry. It does make total sense when he was displaying his wealth and displaying himself as a kind of a big controller of a big shaker of things in the music industry. It wouldn't make sense that he was displaying all of this to kind of attract the weak to him, and perhaps he was acting as a kind of mafia implementation of threats in the music industry for other players who didn't want to have their face on the camera. Steven Robinson says he killed Tupac and Big B. That's what some people say. I have no insight on this. I have no argument one way or another. I know it's a saying. I've been hearing it again and again. Candace Owen gets Beth's career on politician's wife being a man. Terrifying. Conservative commentator Candace Owen said she would bet her career that French President Emmanuel Macron's wife, Brigitte, is a man. I think she went a little far by betting, because who knows, like, maybe she's intersex. And imagine she's intersex and she can actually prove, she can make it look like she proved that she was a man. Like, you don't know. She could have two penises and a vagina, all disordered, all in angles. You never know how bizarre things get. So I wouldn't bet like this my life on it, my credibility, which is why I've been staying back on this story. But Candace Owen just totally went for it. This is all in reaction to a recent campaign that Macron tried to present those rumors as false and fabricated. They published in left-wing and mainstream media, they published his whole reaction to it. And people are noting, you know, Macron has been having weird gay behavior, basically. Here you can see him cheering black guys like it's a porn cover from some dirty video renting store. And there is the president of France just smiling with these tough guys who are acting tough in front of the camera. So very bizarre story, lots of suspicions. Yes, DK Shadow. Trace Channel says, I was on Much Music in 89. Monica Dale interviewed me and we went to an oyster bar for lunch. Wow. And now you're here. Wow. Ooh. Why did you end up on a music channel? Were you a musician? Were you a guitarist? Were you a drummer? What did you do? Why were you being interviewed? That's fascinating. You went to an oyster bar after a TV interview. That is the high life. Rodida Sid says, this sounds like a Q-tier conspiracy. Why do these people always go too far? I'm sure Macron and his wife do all kinds of fucked up stuff, but you don't have to go this far. Yeah, I agree. And I've been warning that with the independence of thinkers that is arising, we have more and more independent media. And I've been warning, as Tucker was moving to X, there are dangers. We will be the subject of psyops. There will be false information that looks very credible that will be seeded in the public. There will be people specialized at making you fall for a trap that is false and that they can demonstrate will be false later so that they can discredit you. So careful, Candace. You have been on a roll up to now. You have exposed the halls of powers in ways that I didn't even hope we would get someone of your degrees, of your level of exposure do ever. You've been on a roll. Don't waste it. Don't bet your entire career. The thing is, your tweet reveals that what you're talking about is not a fact. You use the term plausibility. So if you're going to use the term plausibility, why would you bet your career on it, on the fact? If you use the term, like, if I'm really sure of a fact, you'll never hear me invoke the plausibility of this fact. No, I'm sure my name is Jean-François Gariepy. I'm born like this. I'm born in 1984. That is absolutely certain. You'll never hear me say, isn't this plausible that I'm born in 1984? No, when you invoke plausibility, you are in a state of uncertainty. So I believe that Candace overplayed her hand here. And if you keep overplaying your hand like this on every bizarre story out there, eventually there's one that's a pure trap from CIA psyops. They made it up to make you look bad. And then they catch all of these people who have subscribed to the story, who have covered it, and they say they're all purveyors of misinformation. Rodil Acid says, you mean you identify as Jean-François Gariepy? But do you have a peer-reviewed paper proving it? This peer-reviewed request, they are so annoying when they do this. Anyways, I still pulled the popcorn today because I think it's an exciting, ballsy move by Candace, and you have to grant it to her. Perhaps she knows things that she cannot talk about yet, or perhaps she just has a feeling, a conviction, and she's pursuing it. Credit to her for for going hard on a story that ultimately it's important if that happened. If the French president has been basically groomed by LGBT activism, by a teacher in theater, that I want to know. I want to know that for sure. Candace Owen was also saying, I do not care what you think about Andrew Tate and Tristan Tate. Everything that is happening to them is an absurdity. A civil case from accusations made 10 years ago that were declined criminal prosecution by the UK courts, but then crowdfunded into a civil prosecution is giving E. Jean Carroll vibes. That any civil case could constitute a middle-of-the-night detainment in a foreign country is beyond absurd. It's criminal corruption. So today we have seen that the Tate brothers have been arrested in Romania. But it was all related to a request of the UK. They were released now, so I suppose that they had rights protecting them from extradition or something like this. That's probably why they're in Romania in the first place. You know, we've heard Andrew Tate talk about the fact that he was looking for a jurisdiction that would not annoy him. Well, he got what he wanted. He got immediately released, but they were brought to the jail for some reason. I don't know what it is. Sometimes they have to bring you so that you claim your right to non-extradition. Sometimes they have to bring you so that you sign that you have been served papers. So perhaps it was one of these reasons, but or perhaps it's graver troubles, and perhaps the UK would be successful in getting a civil case, because they tried doing this with the criminal case. They failed. Now it's a civil case. Normally, a civil case, you won't have an extradition from Romania to the UK. I mean, you barely can get an extradition for a civil case, you know, state-wise in the US. Like, if the person who harmed you is in another state, it's going to be very hard for you to get a trial in your state. You're going to have to go and prosecute them in their state. So all in all, I think it's a signature of continued harassment against the Tate. I think that they've taken a path that has annoyed very powerful people. They've taken a path of openness, of honest engagement, at times even with the JQ to some extent. I was seeing Tristan Tate following me on Twitter. I think they are alarming powers that be, although I don't consider them super dangerous for the system. I consider them kind of goofy to some extent, but still a threat through their liberty and through their free thinking. Just that is enough to get people alarmed, let me tell you, and to get started on the hit pieces. That I know, I've been through it. Stephen Robinson says, Andrew and Tristan did a live stream a few hours ago. They explain everything in detail. Okay, I'll be checking it out. But it's all the whole story from 2012, 2015. So those are allegations I had already reviewed and that I didn't find convincing then. I won't find them convincing today either. Podcast host Ben Shapiro says he doesn't believe Americans should be allowed to retire without a health problem. No one in the United States should be retiring at 65 years old. Frankly, I think retirement itself is a stupid idea unless you have some sort of health problems. It's very easy to say this for you, Ben, and for me. We have the luck of having intellectual endeavors as our job. But for 99% of the people, there is some kind of physical work involved. And let me tell you, unpacking grocery store bags of milk and cheese at 65 years old, that's becoming hard. And there's a point at which it's just not worth it. So I think it's a very misinformed position by Ben. Now, what does he mean by retiring? It depends. Does he mean benefiting from government payments? Then I could agree with him. Like, people should be able to retire when they want and when they can. They shouldn't be necessarily on the support of the state. That I agree. But they should still retire. There's many jobs out there that are just not worth pursuing at 65 years old. Alimer says, I can't believe anyone likes that Tate guy. He's less likable than Tim Pool, and that's saying something. He's a barking loud voice, and I have affection for him to a certain degree. He's been in line of so many correct thinking on so many things that it's like I don't see him as super insightful. He's not an intellectual that brings the world forward, but he's insightful enough to be at least a witness of good thinking. Of course, it's with a very eccentric personality. I keep seeing clips of him smoking cigars and doing all these poses for the camera. It's like, okay. I don't think he's bad. I think he's overall good. I prefer Andrew Tate existing than not existing. One career economist exposes the lies of modern economics. Today is all about US CPI. I'm not sure why, given markets and President Biden believe G7 central banks, except Japan, are going to cut rates soon. So basically, they are saying we are headed for inflation. We are headed for low rates, money being distributed into the system, and perhaps the system just not caring about Bitcoin and saying, all right, Bitcoin will go to infinity, but we don't care. We are the US, we have our interest in the USD, and we're going to print this USD, and we're going to be completely ignoring Bitcoin going forward. Like, we don't care that our policies will have infinite multiplying effects onto Bitcoin. That's probably where we're headed. They have no choice, really. The anti-Fed money has been developed. It's Bitcoin, and it's going to be successful. Michael Saylor is out there preaching to his maximum energy. Look at him. He's doing this all day, talking for Bitcoin.
Just gather value.
Well, the proper real estate developers in New York City, they're not buying the real estate because they want to live in it. They're buying the real estate because they expect
Well, because
that
they want to sell it eventually, Michael. I mean, let's be honest. Most of the people who are, yes, sure, some people pass it on to their children, but like most of the people who are buying assets.
Fucking annoying interruptions. You interrupt Michael Saylor.
At some point want to sell the assets at a profit. So
let me say it a different way.
Okay.
People that use fiat currency as a...
Oh, well, we're losing the audio now. That's new.
Store of value. There's a name for them. We call them poor.
Oh, no. Okay.
Anybody that's rich in the world, they own property. They own large swathes of land. The royal family of England, it didn't sell all of its property in central London in order to buy, currency or paper money. Nor did the royal family of Japan, nor did the royal family in the Middle East. In fact, they want to own the property forever. I want you to imagine.
All right, Michael Saylor, talking over hundreds of years, talking about the timescale at which he sees is Bitcoin being the right choice, and holy shit, people are talking about him. Coinbase has just announced they're copying Michael Saylor. Look at this. Coinbase proposes private offering of $1 billion of convertible senior notes due 2030. That's Coinbase getting into exactly the scheme of Michael Saylor. And the bet of Michael Saylor is, hey, if everyone starts doing this because they have to do it, because they're going to have to do it, there's going to be no other choice for companies to keep value. The more there are copycats, the more Michael Saylor is happy because he was there first. He has the premium on the initial Bitcoin. And any of these guys that come to gather the rest of the Bitcoin available, they're fighting for higher and higher price, and they're ultimately increasing the wealth of MicroStrategy. So if you have Coinbase doing this, and then Apple doing this, and then Elon Musk doing this, Michael Saylor is placing himself to be a trillionaire, a multi-trillionaire. That's what will happen, let me tell you. I'm betting on this. Michael Saylor will be a multi-trillionaire in terms of the value of MicroStrategy within the lifetime of the company. Russ Ulbricht, I moved to a new cell block last week. It's been a rough landing, but I think it will be okay once I get to know everyone. Russ Ulbricht is in prison basically forever for making a website, the Silk and Road, something like this. A website of the dark web that was basically allowing commerce. And because people were doing illegal stuff on the website, he got the punishment. That is, if we could get Trump to listen for once to his actual base on the internet, rather than listen to the elites and the Israelis asking him to bomb Syria, it would be nice to get a Trump pardon on Russ Ulbricht. DK Shadow says, Michael Saylor will build the Dyson Swarm. If anyone does a Dyson Swarm, it would be, yeah, Michael Saylor would be in a good position to build it. A Dyson Swarm, for those who don't know, is a sphere of satellites and solar panels just covering the entire planet Earth from orbit, or covering the entire sun from orbit, and just collecting infinite amount of energy or doing whatever they have to do. Buried Project Veritas recording shows that top Pfizer scientists suppressed concerns over COVID-19 boosters. We had no idea how it's going to look like. mRNA vaccines have been there for 50 years, but nothing went to clinical trial because mRNA have been known to have side effects. So some more work from Project Veritas here. That was in 2021, so that was back from when James O'Keefe was there. The QAnon shaman, who has become a star for entering the Capitol on January 6th, has been appearing on Tucker Carlson. I've been watching the clip there. I'm always glad to hear about this story and hear about him. I don't have much comment. It's just good to see him, but it's not a particularly insightful interview either. TikTok will release a photo app to compete with the rival Instagram, despite the risk of Congress banning it. So you have the US politicians are looking to implement a cartel by banning this company for no other sin than being a foreign company, because the US wants to defend its big tech. And so they're accusing them of being Chinese, and, oh, we're going to ban you because you could be spying for the Chinese. And now the TikTok seems to be unshaken. They are going to release a Instagram-style picture rather than just short videos and annoying videos. You're going to be able to upload pictures. Important move. Russian oil refinery has catched fire following Ukrainian drone attacks. A Lukoil refinery in Western Russia. So you have a couple of incursion of bombardments that are happening around the border that Ukraine is doing toward the Russians. Most of them are successfully blocked by Russia, but this is one where they seem to have hit a target. And I'm now remembered that I promised Purple Tuna to be addressing his question from a past super chat that I had forgotten a section of the question. So let's do it now. Purple Tuna had been asking in a super chat. I asked about, could we say we shouldn't send aid to Gaza by using a similar justification as you not sending child care? Something to do about not wishing to participate in an unethical extortionist affair, right? Or do the two circumstances have zero analogy? Okay, so this was in reference to, you know, I said when a child gets kidnapped by the family courts and by your ex, it is my philosophy not to ever help the ex because she has deprived you of the liberty of being the father you wanted to be. And she still wants to squeeze the cash out of you and to use that cash in the way she intends. So to me, it's analogous to a kidnapper who would hold your child hostage, but it would say, you have to fund my kidnapping enterprise or else your child will suffer. To me, it is absolutely rational to say, I do not engage with terrorists. I do not engage with negotiation with the people who are committing crimes against me. And so that's my response for the family court situation. Now, Purple Tuna is making an analogy. And he's saying, could we say the same about Gaza? That by sending aid, we were kind of participating and kind of putting a form of stamp of approval on the actions that are being made against the Gazans. The analogy is not perfect if you're talking about dropping humanitarian aid from the sky. Because in dropping humanitarian aid from the sky, you really are doing your plan to help a bunch of people who you consider victim. If there was a solution to the family court problem that allows dropping aid that the mother doesn't control, I might be tempted. I might be interested at this kind of stuff. But in the situation where the mother controls the output of the money, it's going to be her choices, that it's going to be her raising the child with your money. So that's where I see the analogy is not perfect, because here's the analogy that would work. If you were to tell me, JF, do you think there's an analogy between participating to kidnapping actions and funding Israel so that they can help the Gazans? If we were distributing humanitarian aid by giving it to the Israelis, I would say that is something I wouldn't do, because you can't be sure that the Israelis wouldn't be using it for themselves. You could think that they might, in fact, use the aid in a way that is militaristically strategic. They might use the aid to pursue certain attacks, to drive populations in certain areas rather than others. And as such, if we were giving aid to Israel, and we are, I would consider that this is not humanitarian. This is us participating to the aggression against the Gazans. But as long as you're dropping the humanitarian aid via sky, I would say you are still trying to directly help the population in the way they will see fit with respect to, they will access this aid and they will benefit from it in the way they want rather than in the way the Israelis want. That being said, that is simply a comment on the unfitness of the analogy. I'm not for dropping aid via the sky, but for other reasons. I think that ultimately there are circumstances where you have allies and you want to help those allies strategically. But helping people for humanitarian reasons is never good. Never good. Turkic Warlord says, US is a psychotic mother. She gives Israel the hammer to beat Gaza and then sends cookies and milk so they can feel better. That is a nice analogy to make. Yes, that feels pretty much like it. As a last news item before we close the show, Department of Defense officials say they are alerted about a potential maritime mass migration from Haiti into the United States. Please make it not happen. Please make it so that we have Trump in place, just sending them back by boat if that ever happens. Because holy shit, no. We cannot be the point of convergence of every wrong societies in the world. If you keep absorbing into your population everyone from countries that went to shit, one day your country will go to shit. That's as simple as this. Also, a last comment. There will be a little change on the show. First, I'm going in vacation starting around April 1st, somewhere around there. I'm going to be taking a month of vacation, which I've rarely taken in my life. I don't think I ever took, as an adult, I don't think I've ever had a month of vacation. I've always been from job to job, contract to contract. I'm going to have a true month of almost vacation. I might still be on the phone with you guys. I might do a couple of Twitter live from my phone. I don't know how it will work. But just before the vacation, we will start a new concept here on the show. James will be coming to co-host the show. James is a guy who's been often calling on the Ask Me Anythings. He's been a supporter of the show from the beginning. and he's been always present on the private Patreon hangout. And I know that he's a guy who will develop a theory or will research a historical subject, and he's going to go super deep into it. And so he's going to be a good inspiration for me, because I don't have the heart at, you know, when I follow the news on the everyday and I produce five or six shows per week, I often don't have the time to go into, well, you know, the French Revolution, the Jacobins, and how did it happen in the 17th century, or what was exactly the outcome of the war, of the Perso-Greco-Roman war, or whatever. This is the kind of thing James is an expert in. He's going to go full history buff, and he's been bringing quality points. And so he asked me today, do you want me to appear on the show sometimes? And sure, let's do it. So James is going to appear maybe once every 2 weeks, maybe once every week, if he has a lot of inspiration. And he's going to come deliver his thoughts about a subject on call. And I think it's fascinating. He says, you know, I have those ideas. I love to share them. And you have an audience. I think it's a great collaboration opportunity that will bring the show onto a parallel subject that I personally might not have the reflex to explore at all. James is often in philosophy and history. That's often what he does. That's typically what he finds interesting. Villains Through Modern Eyes is asking for help. He says, answer me, bro. It's time to inseminate. Ah, okay. So you are asking for help to inseminate. Well, Papa JF comes to the rescue. He says, JF, I have a crazy woman that wants to do a crazy plan. So this girl is engaged to someone she isn't really into anymore. He makes great money, to be honest. I've been fucking her for years. So she wants me to impregnate her and she marry and stay with her man until he has to pay alimony and then child support. Should I do it? You are absolutely disgusting, Villains Through Modern Eyes. You are a fraud. You are trying to involve me into a fraud that is absolutely disappointing. I don't even know you. I don't think I've seen your nickname among our crowd for much time, so I don't know that you are a regular audience member, but this is totally immoral what you're suggesting there. Disgusting to me. You are talking about being a beta parasite of a greater man, really. And it's so sad for what it says about you, really. You want to live under the caring umbrella of an alpha male. Don't you think the world would be better with his genes than yours? You're not even able to sustain your crazy woman. And so you need another man to sustain her? And you want to live as a parasite under this man's umbrella? Why don't you go see him and get him to fuck you in the ass, you fucking disgusting being?